2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Wednesday out there to you. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast if you're not signed up with us yet. It gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 per month. With that, you get 24/7 access to our beautiful Slack channel with all our coaches and experts, projections for each sport, and especially for NBA, Boomers Ballers is a good thing, by my co-host, Keith Hall, who we'll talk to here in a minute. Once again, that's promo code podcast on DFSArmy.com. I'm Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Almost forgot my Twitter handle there for a minute. But join as always alongside Keith Hall. Find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. Welcome in, my man.
What's up? I don't want to gloat and say I told you so, but I told you so.
With?
Hassan Whiteside, brother.
Okay. Now, I don't want you to go out there and say I told you so with Karl Anthony Towns, because it wasn't like... It wasn't like a magical performance.
But it wasn't a bad one either.
Absolutely not.
He definitely wasn't. He definitely wasn't the best option at center last night, but he didn't kill you, and he there are just times, there's some times where I will trade paying up to be contrarian to get a lower ownership and not quite paying off value, whether that be cash game or tournament, however you want to look at it, just to be a little bit contrarian and get a lower ownership to get off the crowd, then I would like to stick with the crowd and, you know, just kind of, you know, not gain any sort of edge whatsoever. So it was looking really, really good, and then it kind of slowed down, and then it kind of picked back up a little bit, and then it really kind of slowed down a lot. So it was just kind of one of those things. So
yeah, very nice. Yeah, I didn't watch – the only basketball I really watched last night was Nets-Raptors. I just needed a night off from, you know, the whole grind of it. I mean, I put my lineups in the different slates, and I just went out and was like, "All right, gotta have a day here." So,
yeah, he looked good for a little while. Ricky Rubio looked amazing. I don't want to say I'm late to the party, but I'm a little late to the party. I guess I just need to.
You're just hanging out in the backyard the whole time.
No, it wasn't that at all. I don't like guys that like. That can't score. Like, literally, I don't like guys that can't score the basketball. And he literally can't score the basketball. I guess I've got to kind of come around. That's not his game. He can hold fantasy value and not have to worry about that. So it's one of those things. Not really too upset about it, but definitely something that I'll be adjusting my stance going forward. So,
oh, shout. All right. Well, we do have a shit ton of games. What is it? 9, 10?
Nine
games. Math, not a strong suit. The words. Oh, yeah. That's
but
where I come
every
in.
Single stud is playing today.
All right. Well, I guess I'm playing DFS, but not NBA. You know?
Yeah, you know. Some people are going to be like, oh, well, LeBron James. I don't consider LeBron James a stud. It's just
You're
that simple.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
No, I'm not saying that he's not a good player. That's in the words, in the tones of DFS, he is not what I would call a stud, because he has...
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
Go look at him. Go look at his fantasy point, production per game. Now, does he have the capability of being the highest scorer every single night? Yes. He just doesn't do it because he doesn't need to. You know, that's why we say, you know, when we get into these games where we feel like LeBron James is just going to take over, that's when we like to roster him the most. You know, we don't usually roster him, you know, when he's going to defer to Kevin Love or Kyrie or stuff like that. That's what I mean by a stud. I mean, legitimately and literally, you know, you've got to, we're talking like Giannis, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden.
I'm glad you added Durant because I was going to ask you because they're typically within $200-$300 of each other on a given night. They both have other players on their team and, you know, or other superstars on their team, and, you know, they're kind of capped off by that. So, I mean, I consider LeBron a stud. It's such a minuscule argument that, you know, we don't have to spend hours on, but I disagree with that. I think LeBron's a stud.
I mean, he's a stud as far as NBA purposes, but I don't think he's like studdish as far. He has the capability of being a stud. He has the capability of, like I said, being the most the best player on any given night. It's just he doesn't do it as often as other studs do.
Fair enough.
So that's right. my meaning by it.
With 9 games on today's slate, we got to get to it. Yeah, it's 9. You can count. I can't. All right. Let's start it out with the Portland Trailblazers at the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets 5.5-point favorites in this one. It's actually dropped down to 4.5 of late. The money line here at -185 currently. Total at 216 in this one. Couple interesting spread notes here. So you got the Blazers, who are not good against the spread on the road this season. 9-14, 7-13 as an underdog, 5-9 as a road dog. Now, the Hornets, against the spread average, but it's more what they've been doing lately. 1-7 outright in their last 8 games. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been on the road a lot. Tonight is going to be only their 6th home game in the last 39 days. Kind of insane there. Very skeptical about the Hornets and them being a marginal favorite here on the spread. So I just think a lot of this has to do with the bad run that they're on recently. And then, you know, their rhythm could definitely be affected tonight by playing so many road games that this home game kind of seems unusual for them.
Yeah, it's a little weird how their schedule is kind of, you know, I guess worked out. It's just a little weird. And honestly, it is. It's one of those things that, you know, you're sitting there, you're looking at it, and you're going, what do I need to do in order to really, really, really get the most out of this situation? And the answer is your guess is as good as mine. So,
well, The one thing I have, because look, obviously it's gonna, you know, we've got Kemba Walker at home, we've got Nicholas Batum at home, so my whole reasoning in that, I guess I gotta do a better job with the spread. I know what the spreads mean and all that, but I guess in relaying it to the people, I just don't think that Kemba and Batum are as good of plays on a 9-game slate. Like, sure, if we're talking about 4 or 5 games here, I'm sure that they would be fine. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, I don't think that they're going to have massive performances tonight. I think you could see it sort of spread amongst the team.
I think if you are taking a different approach tonight and you're not going, especially on like DraftKings, and you decide that you don't want to, go with a full on, studs and duds lineup, and you want to go balanced, I think they're both pretty much in play. I think that's a good way to kind of be a little bit different tonight. you know, because we always know that Kemba at home is always, you know, an option, and especially against this backcourt of, you know, Lillard and McCollum, who aren't playing well at all. Like, not even close. It's one of those things that, you know, you've got to kind of pay attention to. You can't forget them on a slate like tonight because you, you know, especially on a site like FanDuel where the default roster construction is going to be jam as many studs in my lineup as I can possibly fit and find the value and figure it out, which, you know, yes, could win, but it also could end up biting you in the ass because if some of these mid-tier pricing guys go bonkers, like definitely could happen, and especially with, you know, Kemba and Batum, then you've got you could be in some trouble if some of your value doesn't hit.
Right.
So,
and you know, there's some decent value here on this Hornets team that I think we can use. Again, I don't see them having this.
Not Marvin Williams.
So we gotta check it out. I mean, again, Tyler Zeller, who was in a good spot against the Celtics the other night, did not pull through. But again, you know, pretty good spot for him here tonight. So, you know, mind him or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, something along those lines. Again, I'm gonna have very minimal exposure to the Hornets tonight because I think there are a lot of, you know, great spots out there for a lot of different teams. But you know, the 215 total is interesting. You know, that could give some credence to it, but I'm not expecting too many big performances from this Hornets team.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think there are places you can attack, obviously, Batum, Kemba. I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is interesting because I expect Al-Farouq Aminu to kind of be shadowing Kaminsky and Marvin Williams and whoever else is kind of in that situation. So I think they're interesting, but yeah, I mean, I don't mind it at all. It's kind of weird that we're sitting here talking about Charlotte at home and we don't really have a ton of interest in, you know, Kemba or Batum. So, but you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's sitting there at 4,800 on FanDuel, I think is interesting. Also, I mean, you can sit there and you can look at Evan Turner and Maurice Harkless as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's some value in this game, like you said, but I don't think it's where, oh my God, Kemba's at home. I have to go get Kemba. You know?
Yeah.
I do think sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, don't get us wrong either. I mean, Portland's backcourt, you know, they're both at the bottom of the defensive RPM rankings. It's just, again, this is the way I feel. It's just based on the line.
Yeah, no, and I kind of agree with you. So now I will say this: if this game happens to somehow go into overtime, we're screwed.
Yeah,
that's just my expert analysis there.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting. Like the fact that the spread is, you know, typically when we see the Hornets at home, you know, you're going to see them at a 7-8. That's something that's, you know, that's more along the lines usual. Again, the way Portland has been defensively, I mean, you know, they're playing a pretty good pace, playing great on offense. So I do think we're going to see a close game. Is it, you know, will it go, you know, over that total or under? It's just things are kind of pointing to under for me here. The fact that the Hornets really haven't gotten it right here in the last couple of games is weird. And I just think it, you know, what I really think we could probably see tonight, I think we can see the Blazers get out to a huge lead and then the Hornets kind of battle their way back. So however you want to take that.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the next game here. We got the Memphis Grizzlies at the Washington Wizards. Wizards, another awkward line here. 3-point favorites with the money line at -150. Over-under, a lot less than that last game that we talked about with a 216. This one is a 204.5. Grizzlies, very average against a spread on the road. As an underdog, 14-11. And, you know, that's the only one to point out from their line. But the Wizards against a spread, very good at home this season. 15-8 there. 13-9 is a favorite, and then 12-5 is a home favorite. Now, it's interesting, too, about the Wizards. They've been awesome at home lately. 11-1 in their last 12 games against the spread. Given all that information, though, I feel like that, again, this is another spread that seems a bit too low for the home team. Given all that, I feel like the Grizzlies could, you know, again, they're coming off a loss to the Bulls, too, at home at the Grindhouse, where they probably should have just clapped these dudes with their eyes wide open. But I look for the Grizzlies to kind of slow down the pace in this game, and that's certainly going to hurt the Wizards' offense.
Yeah, I tend to lean more towards the fact that the home team kind of determines the pace a little bit more. So I think that I actually like the fact that Memphis is going to be paced up a little bit. So I think Mike Conley's in play. I will tell you this, that I will have some exposure to John Wall and Bradley Beal, because I think Tony Allen's going to be on one of those two. I don't know which one yet. I would assume John Wall, and I want exposure to the other one, because I'm going to continue to attack this Memphis backcourt with wing players. So whoever Mike Conley's on, because he's not as good defensively as he once was, for whatever reason, I have no idea what it is. I just know that we've been profitable attacking it in tournaments.
He's got a broken back like Batman.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
The Bale Batman. Christian Bale Batman.
Ah, I gotcha. So, yeah, I'm going to attack this, but I'm not sure exactly which one yet for sure. So keep in mind that when you see one of these Washington Wizards players on my list later on, you'll know why I'm thinking the way that I'm thinking. So.
All right. Fair enough. How about for the Grizzlies? I could see Marcus Gasol have a pretty good game here. What do you think?
Took the words right out of my mouth, brother.
All right. Yeah, everything on the spread kind of just, it seems right for him, you know? I mean, especially, you know, with the Wizards just being slight favorites in this one. And again, we've got a pretty low total for a Wizards game. So I could see a lot of rebounds here for him.
Yep, absolutely. I love Marc Gasol in these slower-paced games. Not a lot of people are going to be on him, although more are going to be on him today than normal, just because of the fact that he's going up against Washington. It kind of, you know, makes everything kind of go a little bit. So it makes everybody kind of, you know, look towards it when you get these faster paced games. I actually like being a little contrarian in this aspect. I like taking big men from slower paced games, just because they seem to, you know, have a little bit more chances for rebounds and, you know, putbacks and stuff like that. So it's just, yes, another way to be a little bit different. Fast pace doesn't always mean good things for big men. So they're big for a reason, guys. So now, certain ones, yes, you do like that, but, you know, there are certain ones that you really don't. So, and Marc Gasol is one of those kind of swingman ones.
All right. Any interest in the power forwards? I mean, Wizards can get it. Well, not just any Wizards like Harry Potter Wizards, but the Washington ones, and specifically, could you go to maybe a Jermichael Green, or obviously Zach Randolph is the more attractive option there, but either one of those guys interest you?
No, they're too, no. It's like shooting, I don't want to say shooting fish in a barrel, but it's like trying to figure out which one's going to, you know, trying to figure out which lady at the bar you can get drunk and take home with you. It's a trial by error, and, you know, if you fail with the first one, then if you feel like you have to attack the Washington front court, then, you know, split them up.
Okay. How about Tony Allen? He's had some pretty good performances lately.
Nope.
That was a quick no.
Yes.
Quick definitive
shooting
no.
Guard's too loaded for me tonight.
4,700. We've had the 30.3 lately, the 24.6. I mean, a couple nines in there in tough matchups against OKC and Utah. Another 39 in there.
How is OKC a tough matchup for a wing?
Overtime. it just is, man. Let's not go overboard. I mean, you know, too, with him in a game like that, he's really got to focus on his defense against Russell Westbrook. So
that was his birthday. Oh, speaking birthday of which, too.
Speaking oh, of there, which, that's why. That's why.
I want to see something real quick because we might be doing a new trend here. Okay, so I it was brought to my attention. That it was Dwayne Wade's birthday yesterday.
Right.
Okay. Do you want to know what he finished with on FanDuel?
I'm going to take a stab and say like 17.
24.
Okay. I was off by a touchdown.
Here is the new narrative. If it is your birthday, automatic fade.
I've been talking about this.
I know, but like, It's a new trend this year. It's got to be a new trend this year.
Yeah, I've mentioned this. I think like party planning gets in the way. I really do. And you know, maybe the family's in town. You got to get extra tickets. Like I think there's all sorts of things mentally that go into this. Like maybe these coaches think they're doing you a favor by not giving you as much work on your birthday or something like that. So. Yeah, I could certainly make that case for it just kind of be a mental fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, let's get to our next game of the night. The Toronto Raptors, 5-point favorites up against the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. -215 on the money line currently. We've got a total that jumped up from the open, was at 210, went to 213. 96% of the bets, too, are on the Toronto Raptors and their 5.5-point spread in Vegas, which is very interesting. So, all right, Raptors are on a back-to-back set tonight. They are 3-4 outright in these situations this season. Raptors have been pretty good against the spread. They have covered four straight games. They are 13-7 against the spread on the road, 20-10 as a favorite this season, which is pretty acceptable. However, we got to talk about these Philadelphia 76ers because they are playing very well lately. 8-2 in their last 10 games against the spread. They have covered 7 of their last 8, and every one of their peripherals for tonight look very good. 13-9 against the spread at home, 22-15 as an underdog, 13-7 as a home underdog. So, given the fact, I mean, look, both teams have been excellent, you know, according to all those numbers that I just spit out. So I do think that we could see a very close game tonight. And a lot of that has to do with some injuries that we could possibly see. Now, Patrick Patterson's going to be questionable. We've got Lucas Nogueira. He's going to be questionable. He got poked in the eye last night. Got to wonder how that's going to affect him. For the Sixers, you got TJ McConnell is doubtful, but he wants to play. It's a funny situation. The team, they listed him as doubtful, and then they told him, I want to play. He did miss the last game with the wrist injury, so there's that. And then Nerlens Noel had the ankle issue that made him miss on MLK Day, but he looks probable to play tonight, so that should work out. All right, I have this whole slew of bullet points of why we should play Kyle Lowry tonight. Could I just list them off?
Yeah, I mean, you can. you're more than welcome to.
Okay. Number one, let's just be irresponsible about it right off the bat. He's from Philly. Okay. Number two, his backup, Corey Joseph, played 37 minutes last night. So we're looking at more tonight. Number three, you're probably going to get him at a lower than usual ownership because
that
everyone's
I disagree
just
with.
Okay. Everyone's pissed off at him. And I'm going to say lower than usual because the situation should be a good one. If McConnell is going to be out for the Sixers tonight, he's going to draw a much better matchup against Sergio Rodriguez. McConnell's actually the 10th best point guard in terms of defensive RPM. Sergio is not much lower down the totem pole. And then Lowry's actually been better on the road this season. 22% usage rate at home as compared to 26.5% on the road. And then 38.5 FanDuel points per game at home as opposed to 41.6 FanDuel points per game on the road. For all of these reasons, I love Kyle Lowry.
Okay. How about I simplify it for the folks? You play Kyle Lowry because I feel that DeMar DeRozan's going to be out, because there's no way in hell that I feel like this should be only a 5.5 point spread with Toronto. I don't care if they are on a back-to-back. They're the number two team in the East, and they just sat their best player. Their second best player. Right. They just sat one of their two best players.
I'm going to say best player. I like him over DeRozan. But
Yeah, we sure do, because DeRozan's a guy that just kind of likes to score. But that's not the point. I agree with the Philly. I disagree with the lower ownership, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are going to expect DeMar DeRozan to sit tonight. And if we do get word early, which there's no guarantee with the Toronto Raptors that we will, but if we do, then his ownership percentage is going to skyrocket. But with the fact that he is a whopping, what is he? Oops. I just had it and then I lost it. 8,800 on Draft or FanDuel, then boom.
Yeah.
So
now last night was a very interesting situation. I mean, I know we had a couple people, you know, in our Slack chat that were upset, but even more so on Twitter. I just always love to go in and read people's comments about, you know, certain people sitting out. I mean, look, you know, if you're playing NBA DFS, you got to know. And I know, you know, because people, there's some people that are waiters or people that still have office jobs on the West Coast and all these sorts of other, you know, circumstances that, you know, most of us don't have to deal with. But, I mean, you have to, you know, the news came out with 15 minutes per log, and that's kind of what goes into the unfortunate situation with some people's jobs. But, I mean, look, if you're in that situation, I would not play as much money, because this NBA bitch, oh, she fickle, all right. You know,
sir, go ahead.
You're going to have situations that arise like this. But, I mean, look, there was 15 minutes, you know, of time for you to, you know, follow up and do what you had to do last night. So, I mean, it's not a total F. Lowry situation. You know, there was time to do what you had to do.
No, not only that, but it's a total NBA situation. Like, one of the first things that we tell you in our introductory articles to NBA every single season is expect the unexpected. Two, expect to get popped by late scratches every single, like, you should expect it at least 5 times a year. Okay? And guess what? You should expect it to hurt you 5 times a year, like directly
again,
affect
you. You're being generous.
And I'm talking a minimum, okay? Because here's the thing: is if I know or I have a feel, like DeMar DeRozan tonight won't be on my cheat sheet. Why? Because I feel he's going to sit. If I feel there is a greater than 50% chance for that player to be out, then he doesn't go on my sheet. Why? Because I don't want my guys who are paying me and you for us to give advice to be popped by that. If I can limit the amount of times that you're popped in a year, you have a greater chance of being successful in NBA. With that said, I had no idea about Kyle Lowry. I saw it on Twitter, and as soon as I did, I dropped everything that I was doing, and I tagged everybody in the NBA channel on Slack.
You did?
And I said, get Corey Joseph in your lineup. It was a simple fix. It was a simple swap going from Lowry to Corey Joseph. The problem was now you're left with, like, what was it, like $3,500 in extra salary? And you're like, oh, shit, where do I go from here? You know, the easy switch would have been going up from, like, I forgot what prices were yesterday, but
DeMarre Carroll to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, exactly. DeMarre Carroll to Jimmy Butler. That would have been very profitable to you. Me, myself, I went from Fareed to Julius Randle, which kicked my ass, and I went to somebody else too, but I didn't make the right pivots. I can't say that. I feel like I made the right pivots. They just didn't work out in my favor. I had Corey Joseph. I had DeMar DeRozan. I had Lou Williams. That all worked out. Unfortunately, I also had Trevor. Oh, I upgraded to Trevor Ariza as well. So, you know, it just the moves were right, and everything. But if you don't have the ability to tune out the world the last 30 minutes before NBA lock, don't play that night. Okay? Don't bitch to FanDuel or DraftKings about, you know, you getting hit with a late scratch, because everybody does. Guess what, guys? It evens itself out over time, okay? It's just the way that it works. And it's the way that especially if you played on FanDuel before this year, then you know that's how it works. Guess what? Sometimes it's gonna hurt you. Sometimes it's gonna help you. Those nights where it hurts you, make sure you have very, very, very proper bankroll management, and you don't go trying to chase that money and get it back. Just count it as a loss and turn off your computer and enjoy the night. Okay? Because I got popped two nights ago with Tyson Chandler in 50% of my lineups. I got popped last night with Luol Deng in 10% of my lineups. And guess what? It happens to even me. And as long as you breathe and you go and you try to, that's why I would not, I'm learning multi-entry, like scripting and stuff like that. Because I would not do that on FanDuel. I make 1, 2, 3 lineups on FanDuel. But on DraftKings, where I can make a couple button clicks and just switch everything like that, it makes it easier to make pivots like that. I went from, I think, about 10% Corey Joseph to about 50 or about 35. The problem was yesterday that we also went to Norman Powell because of his increase in not only usage but fantasy points per minute when Kyle Lowry's out. That did not work out. Here's the hilarious thing about it. Norman Powell will be back on that sheet tonight. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not mistaken, with Nogueira and DeRozan off the court, Norman Powell gets another huge.
What if it's not DeRozan, but Carroll that gets the night off? Because we've seen that a lot from the Raptors.
Well, then everything I just said just is actually.
but still, I mean, Powell, I mean, we've seen with Carroll when he's out, then Powell, you know, he slides to the two, and then you got, what's his face? You got DeRozan that goes over to the three. But still, it's a situation that works out. And the fact that Powell only played, how many minutes did you play last night, Powell?
12.
12. Okay. So, yeah, he's absolutely in line for minutes tonight. I mean.
Sorry, he played 19.
Still, I see more minutes coming, regardless of whatever the situation. But I do think you're right that somebody could say. But here's the other thing, too. I don't think, you know, the fact that the Raptors are on the back end of a back-to-back, you know, playing a Philly team that's playing very well, I don't think that 5 is a number that's, you know, astronomically low or anything like that. I mean, on a normal day, I would say, you know, and especially with the way that the Sixers have been playing, I don't know. Like I kind of feel like this is the right number, but that I think this has a lot more to do than with the Sixers than it does, you know, necessarily with the Raptors resting anybody. Like I don't think that spread that you see right now reflects anybody sitting. I just think that reflects them being on the back end of a back-to-back going up against a tougher team. And again, you know, we talk about it all the time when a spread looks too good to be true, usually is. I mean, hell, we talked about it in the first two games. So I just think that situation is kind of on par of, you know, just Sixers being a good team.
I mean, they're better. I will give them that. They are better. I am not denying that fact whatsoever. I just don't think that this line is good enough.
Well,
if we're talking about the Raptors at full strength, so
Well, you got to think about it, too. I mean, you know, if Nogueira probably can't go tonight, that's going to leave Jonas Valanciunas, you know, as kind of like the big man down there. Now you probably get a little more Jakob Poeltl, maybe something like that if
he
can't go.
Who played well
last
night, by the way. Forced into action. Yeah, forced into action.
Yeah, I like him.
He played pretty well.
He was very good at Utah, and yeah, I do think that, you know, again, too, if the Raptors are going to add another marquee player, you best believe that Poeltl's going to be one of the guys involved in the deal. But, it's certainly going to be a wait-and-see situation with the Raptors because there are a lot of different things that happen, and, you know, and again, it depends who is out of the lineup that, you know, so it's so dependent on that of who gets the bump. But if DeRozan or Carroll are out, then yeah, we got to go back to Powell.
I mean, I don't mind that at all.
Nope.
Actually, if it's just DeRozan and Nogueira, it's actually Carroll that gets the biggest bump right now. I mean, we'll obviously have to wait and see, but. It goes Lowry, Carroll, Joseph, Ross, Fred Van Fleet. I mean, Norman Powell is actually – it's still not bad, but it's not as big of a usage bump, like a difference as I would have thought it would have been. So.
Yeah, and again, the other thing I'm thinking about too, so let's say Patterson and Nogueira both missed this one.
Oh, I forgot about Patterson. I mean,
yeah, they might have to go. They might have to go with Carroll. They might have to play all their guys. You know, they'll put Carroll at the four, maybe, and you know, just work some different things around like that. And again, you know, Joseph with him playing 37 minutes last night—that's a lot more than he's used to. So, again, that's another way for Powell to get more minutes. Maybe even Terrence Ross gets in there for more minutes.
Fred VanVleet.
I like Freddie, but there's just a lot of waiting on that. We gotta. Wait on there. So we spent so much time with the Canadian national team. Let's talk about the Sixers in this one. Embiid's that price just keeps tick, 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 tick. But he did have a fantastic game on MLK Day, which was her. What is this? I just see this. He's questionable now with an illness.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling too good the other day.
Just for rest purposes. My goodness.
So,
my goodness.
I mean, who knows?
By the way, with Embiid, his massive total did get boosted by 5 blocks and 2 steals in that last game. So,
yeah, I do but think is that, he's still is that really too expensive. Out of the realm of possibilities? Like, it's not that he's expensive. It's just that his profit potential isn't as great as it once was. Like... You can't the ability to get, you know, 45 is great, but the problem is that you're no longer paying, you know, 65 for that. So,
right.
You know, at 8.4, you need 48. 8.4 times 5.5.
44?
46.2 in order to pay off his tournament base. You know, that's not out of the realm of possibilities for him, but he's only done that, you know, once since before Christmas. And right. That was the last game. So even if Joel Embiid does play, I can't go there. Not in tournaments.
No.
I mean, you certainly could, not. You could do it in cash games because you don't need as much. You know, you only need 42, and that's pretty much been what he's been averaging. But I can't do it in cash games.
Speaking of out-of-body experiences, did you see how many rebounds Brook Lopez had last night?
Too many to where he was fadeable.
8?
Yeah.
Of course, right? Yeah, look, and again, with a guy like Brook Lopez, there's going to be nights where he has 8 or something like that. I saw a couple tags yesterday in the Slack chat. Oh, he's rebounding. Don't go there with me.
Yeah, right? how did you like my full fade of Brooklyn? I told people, look, I'll put him on my sheet, but I'm not playing him. And they didn't kill me. Like,
no?
They didn't really kill me. I wasn't really worried about it.
All right. Anything else? I mean, you're gonna have any Sergio Rodriguez interest if McConnell's out?
If McConnell's out, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's your de facto value point guard of the night right now. He's 4,100 on FanDuel. He's gonna get all the point guard minutes. If he can just get me to 25, which is feasible, then, you know, yeah. So, I mean, if I need to save at point guard, then yeah, I'll go there. But I think tonight might be a pay up at both guards, or at both point guard spots, and save elsewhere, because point guard is very, very top heavy today, and I think we can find value in tournaments that is a little bit sneakier and lower owned other places, and just as good of matchups. So,
Oh, show. All right, let's get. Oh, what about Ersan Ilyasova tonight? We're gonna see. I understand with Embiid playing, you know, not as profitable, but he's done very well. Power forwards against the Raptors, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we've been attacking all day, so, or all year. So, I absolutely love it. I also don't mind Dario Saric as well. If we get some word, as of right now, he's on the radar as possibly being there, just because of the fact that, you know, he's been playing some three and some two, so, or some three and some four, so.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to our next game here. We have got the New York Knicks at the Boston Celtics. Celtics 8-point favorites in this one with the money line of -350. Total is at 219. Not many against the spread notes here. I guess the only thing of note, Celtics 19-10 as a favorite, which is pretty big. But big spread here against the Knicks tonight in a rivalry game. We already do have Kristaps Porzingis ruled out, missed the last three games with an Achilles, and we got Tyler Zeller listed out. He's missed the last eight games with a sinus infection. Lay off the yo, bro. All right. We all know I hate Carmelo Anthony. Hate him. Marshmello, that's the name for the man now. But kind of tough to turn away what he's done without Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup lately. At least 38 FanDuel points in three of his last four games. And then, you know, we got to add in the fact now, too, that not only basketball, but this is a motivated Carmelo Anthony right now. He'll usually get this once a year. But, you know, you got all the thing, you know, I'm not leaving New York and everything going on with him and Phil Jackson and all this other stuff. I think he's trying to plant his flag at Madison Square Garden, if you will, probably on the damn roof of the damn thing. But, you know, he did have a pretty good game against them on Christmas. You know, you want to go all the way back to the first meeting of this the season series. He got ejected in Boston. He was off to a blazing hot start in that game and then got the boot. I know this because I owned him that night. But
I think we all did.
You see any viability in Melo tonight, especially with Porzingis out?
Yeah, if Porzingis is out, I guess, a little bit.
He's out. They've already ruled him out.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, a little bit. Not a ton. It's not something that I'm really looking to attack, but I don't mind it too much, I guess. He's too expensive for me. He just is. I mean, he's in that, he makes a great tournament play. Let me put it that way. He makes a great tournament play. And the reason for that is because of the price that he's at. He's kind of stuck there in no man's land. So I don't mind it. I'm probably not going to go there a lot, but I can definitely see the play. I actually like Derrick Rose a little bit better for tournaments.
Whoever thought we'd see the flip-flopping of the next guard here, but yeah, I can't. I don't know, with Derrick Rose, I know he's got the best, you know, statistical matchup, but Isaiah Thomas being the worst, you know, statistical defender in the NBA this season. But I don't know, he's not there, pun intended. But, you know, we're not seeing these massive output games from him. I mean, a lot of it's going to Melo. His shot's actually been falling a lot lately. That's where if I'm going with the Knicks, I gotta go there. But I mean, of course. And the other thing too, with Porzingis out again, this could be a good opportunity to reacquaint ourselves with either Joakim Noah or Kylo Quinn in this spot. So, and then again, he's Joakim Noah's questionable to play with an ankle. I love how all this news is just popping up, and I'm just seeing it right now. Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, the NBA. Oh, I logged into Basketball Monster this morning, and you know what it told me? Congratulations, you have survived half of the NBA basketball season.
That's very nice of them. Thank you.
So yeah, we're halfway done. It only gets crazier from here. So guys, well, we'll address that as we get closer to the trade deadline. So,
well, how about this? Especially if Noah's out, I would like Melo a lot more. And then I would think you got to go Kylo Quinn without KP and Noah.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. Maybe even some Willie Hernan Gomez.
I mean, Christ almighty, if O'Quinn sees 20-plus minutes, we're looking at, like, Mount Vesuvius on our hands.
Yeah. He becomes one of the premier value options of the slate. So, and trust me, this is a lot of this news is going to decide how people construct their rosters. And if I'm in that single-entry series tournament on FanDuel, whatever the default roster construction is, I'm making the exact opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've got to separate yourself from the field in some way. Now, will it pay out? You know, hopefully. Does it always have to be? You know, no. But, I mean, if we're talking, you've got one shot to beat 30,000 people, which is what this tournament's gone up to, is 30,000 people. Whatever the default chalk roster construction is, I need to differentiate some way, somehow. And so I'm going to do it. So that's how I would suggest doing it.
Show enough. All right. Celtics are in a much better matchup here. Knicks just lazy and suck on defense. If you're going to get, the Knicks B team in this one, definitely going to be a good spot. So, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, obviously the top option there for the Celtics, but anywhere else really intrigue you?
Yep. Kelly Olynyk.
Yo, boy.
Look, there's not a lot of us out there. He was in play the other day, and I totally misread the situation. Because I saw Amir Johnson and Jaylen Brown back. Well, Kelly Olynyk's one of their hottest shooters right now. And if that you can tell me that Kelly Olynyk is one of your hottest shooters, and they came out and said they've told him to be more aggressive in finding his shots. Because, see, what he was doing was he was deferring to guys like Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Al Horford. He was deferring to those guys. Well, now they've told Kelly Olynyk to be aggressive with his shot. Okay. I mean, you tell me that, and you're going to give him to me at $4,300, and you're going to tell me that he's going to shoot the ball. What did he shoot the other day? Kelly Olynyk shot the ball 9 times and was... see here. He got 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. If you're going to tell me that he's going to play 25 minutes against a team that is a little bit more difficult to that's not going to have Kristaps Porzingis, that's not going to have possibly Joakim Noah, that's, you know, yes, please. Now. Yep. So, It's looking like on FanDuel, it's more of a balanced roster construction for me as of right now. So.
All right. Hey, by the way, completely forgot to mention the Heart of New York in the Knicks. Mindaugas. I love watching a Knicks game and just saying Mindaugas all the time. But Mindaugas Kuzminskas played some serious minutes, 30, 23, 38 in his last three games. In two of those games, he had 26 and a 31.3. Getting a lot more run, getting more significant run with this Knicks team, too. He's at 3,900 at small forward, so that could be a nice pivot off of Mello if you want to go in that direction. Also, with the Celtics, I haven't watched much schematically with the Celtics, but have they been doing that Olynyk-Horford on the court at the same time thing?
Yes.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Olynyk at the 5 and Horford right at the 4, and it's interchangeable. So,
yeah, I've been reading a lot more that, you know, Horford's feeling a lot more comfortable there at the 4 position, and, you know, they want to keep him there. And, you know, I guess the fact that Zeller's out kind of doesn't give them as much depth as they would like to have at that center spot. But with Olynyk really coming up late, it's been helping a lot. So that works. How about this reemergence of Jay Crowder?
It's about damn time. Yeah. Maybe now we can start to get some of the money back that we lost rostering you when you were putting up 22s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just phenomenal work lately. He's had, you know, at least 27 FanDuel points in his last three games. Of course, the day that I come off of him is when he starts doing all this stuff. Again, not a guy that's going to give you massive upside, but if you ever need any, you know, salary relief at that position, I mean, yeah, again, he's just been playing lights out lately. And, you know, not exactly the easiest matchups. I mean, you know, he goes head-to-head. Otto Porter, not necessarily a turnstile defender, but I mentioned this earlier in the season, but, you know, he's in a contract year right now, so I think he's playing the best defense of his entire life. You know, Atlanta, no slouch. And then, MKG and the Hornets, you know, certainly not a it's a much more difficult matchup on paper than it is in real life, but still not a cakewalk to say the least. So he has done this against three pretty good teams, and now he gets the Fat Boy tonight. So this should work well.
Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else from the Celtics? Any sneaky bench plays other than Olynyk?
No.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's go to the Orlando Magic at the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans -4 spread here. Money line -175. Got ourselves a total of 207.5. For the Magic, Evan Fournier is questionable. He's missed the last two games with a foot injury. Bismack Biyombo, questionable with a knee injury. Then we got, for the Pelicans, Anthony Davis was questionable, but he says he's going to play tonight. So that nasty, terrific spill that he took there, that should not affect him too much. Or will it? We never know with this guy. All right, given all that injury news, spread, all the information, I don't have any spread notes because the line just came out today. But what do you like in this one?
Nothing.
Whoa. But they're playing at the Smoothie King Center. By the way, if you wanted to go to tonight's game, tickets are available from $12 and up.
Yeah, no kidding. Anthony Davis, maybe.
Hey, I like him.
The problem is you can get Giannis and Durant and Boogie and Isaiah and Steph, and I mean, you don't have to worry about him breaking his butt again.
Oh, that was horrendous.
I mean, but we all know his home road splits and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, I don't have a lot of interest in this game.
Fair enough.
I mean, Vucevic now, by the way, here's the problem, okay?
Okay.
Even if Biyombo's out, Vucevic is going to be going against Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis is not a 4, he is a 5. because they've been playing Dante Cunningham at the four. They've been playing Terrence Jones at the four. Demotis Moniunis at the four. They you know how normally we say they're a guard forward combo. They're a 2-3 combo guard. Well, sure. The Pelicans have a lot of 3-4 combo forwards. They'll play Solomon Hill there. I mean, they'll interchange these guys and they'll leave because Anthony Davis is one of the most athletic big men. If you stick him at the five in the NBA. And so, I mean, I guess if Evan Fournier is out, maybe Elfrid Payton, maybe Jody Meeks, who's still $3,800. He's still going to play 30 plus minutes tonight. Tyreke Evans, we knew that we shouldn't have counted on that 28 against Brooklyn. A lot of what that had to do with was, I forgot who it was, but somebody ended up leaving that game. For the Pelicans, and I forgot who it was.
The Pelicans Nets?
Yeah. Somebody ended up leaving that game to where he ended up playing 28 minutes.
Holiday checked out unofficially, but not in reality. I don't know.
I guess you could go to Drew Holiday with a press price tag, but I can't go to Tyreke Evans. He was in play that night, because of the matchup. He went back down from 28 to 22 and 23 minutes. Now he can still outperform. He's still going to get you a fantasy point per minute, but now the problem is he's all the way back up at 56 rather than his price was at like 43 or whatever it was. Sure. And that also creates a situation because now it's regulated Buddy Hield around 15 minutes.
Guys in a backcourt, not exactly the best.
No, it's not. And I wonder if they're actually going to trade one of these guys. I wish they would because I would love Buddy Hield to get some consistent run, but I don't see it happening.
Who could use some players? The Nets, and we got ourselves a hell of a bargaining chip. So just saying, New Orleans, let's brolo to the Smoothie King Center. Let's get him there. I want young pieces. I want young pieces, man. Come on.
I don't blame you. I mean, because you have no ability to get pieces.
Yeah. All right. This is not the Brooklyn Nets draft show, okay? Gross. Nobody would watch. Basically everything you said. I think Anthony Davis probably top option here now that he's going to be in. But I do have some worries about him being sore and whatnot. Still at home, one of the best in the biz. And then I do like the Elfrid Payton matchup if Fournier is going to be out, but that is it.
Yep.
And Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks is good, too. I like
that. Yeah, we keep waiting on the Mario Hezonja train to kind of pick up a little bit, and it's just not a great job, Orlando, for messing up a great player or what the possibility of a great player could be. Don't play Jeff Green, please don't play Jeff Green. And then, Terrence Jones, he did well when Anthony Davis left. If for some chance Anthony Davis, isn't in this game, then fire up the Terrence Jones. But his price right now is too high to pay. I played a little bit of Terrence Jones because I figured that he was going to be playing the three or the four while Davis was the five and, Solomon Hill was the three. And yeah, that blew up in my face. So yeah, that's my opinions on that. But
Aaron Gordon, too, has been playing a game of good game, bad game. He is on pace for a good game in his, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Seems like the. Over his last 9 games, he's sprinkled in a 30-plus fantasy point night in between. So this is how it's gone. Ready? 38.2, 28, 35.7, 8.7, 34.1, 18.4, 30.8, 14.8, and then we got a blank spot for tonight. So that's where the 30-plus one could fit in, if you're wondering. But, hey, if you don't like to play those games, I don't blame you because that's stupid. All right, next game of the night. We've got the Atlanta Hawks -2 at the Detroit Pistons tonight. This one actually started out as a pick'em, but as time went along, Atlanta took over the favorite. Minuscule money line there, -125. Slate low, total of 201 in this game. Don't blame them. Two of the better defensive teams in this league. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is going to be out for this game. He's missed the last two games with a shoulder injury. John Luehr, questionable. He's missed the last four games with, I don't know what. I think he's out tonight anyway with a knee injury. Right for Luehr?
Yes. John Luehr is looked like he's out. Drummond and Aaron Baines are in. That's already been announced, so.
They are in. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, I can just take them off the damn list then. He's dead. We'll cross him off
Casey
the list.
But KCP's out.
Yes, I did mention that. All right. So given the fact Caldwell-Pope out, I did see something that was interesting where you would think Reggie Jackson is, will get more usage and all that kind of stuff with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out of the lineup. He actually shoots a worse field goal percentage, and all the other, peripheral stats come down a bit as well. But we have seen point guards do well against Atlanta. So what do you do here?
Fade it.
Okay. All right.
Do you have any interest here? Because I don't.
I have interest in the fact that Atlanta sucks against point guards, and we haven't seen Reggie Jackson have a good performance since that. I think that double overtime game in Portland done messed him up real good. Since then, it's just been a train wreck for this guy. But again, we got to get back on when before everybody else does. So I could see it, but. Again, in my article today, I'll try to get those numbers with or without KCP out of the lineup, but it's not good. And, again, we could kind of see it, really, these last couple games. So.
Yeah, KCP is one of their better shooters. You could sit there and it's just not. It's not good. It really isn't. They're a different team.
Next topic.
Reggie Bullock got 26 and 29 minutes the last two games. He didn't even. There's a reason why he's playing 25 plus minutes and still at $3,500. I guess you could start to say, hey, can we look at Stanley Johnson? And he played 26 and 34. And yeah, you can, but he's a tournament option. Like a deep right. tournament option, and I don't think you need to go there. I would rather play Marcus Morris. It's odd. We have nine games. This is one of the worst defenses against point guards, but they've been a lot better lately. Atlanta has. You haven't been able to kind of pick on them like you normally have. And Detroit just plays really slow. Yeah, so I'm not going to Dennis Schroeder. I just don't have any interest in this game. I'm just crossing it off the list.
Fair enough. All right, so the stretch forward thing against Paul Millsap is certainly here. Whether that's going to be Marcus Morris or Tobias Harris that does that, I guess if you had to go A or B here, who's it going to be?
Marcus Morris, because I like Tobias Harris coming off the bench better.
Oh, we all do.
So Marcus Morris, at least kind of to me, has a little bit of upside because he's cheaper and he can still get, 36 to 40 fantasy points. Whereas Tobias Harris can get you 36 to 40 fantasy points, but he's $6,000, And whereas he was consistent with the right there around the 32, that seems to be his mid-range point. He's not going to get you 35 most nights, and he's definitely not going to get you 40 most nights, but him getting closer was with John Luehr starting and him coming off the bench. And since that's not happening, nah, sorry.
Show enough. All right, let's go to the Hawks for this. We got ourselves a little bit of narrative street here with Tim Hardaway coming back to the same state as his college playing days. And also, too, props to our Cade's dad on this one, because I didn't even think about it. But he pointed out the fact that, obviously, Tim Hardaway, the first Tim Hardaway, the original, is actually on the Pistons coaching staff. So you could look at it from one regard of, hey, I'm going to show my dad something, or two, original is going to say, hey, I know exactly how to shut down my son. What's up? What's up, man? You thought we were just going all happy here. No, no. There could be a sad ending in Hollywood, my friends.
Yeah, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing for a contract. So, I mean, what is this price now? It is 48. Ooh, maybe a little bit. Since KCP's out, I have a little bit of interest. He's awfully, awfully. It's a tournament option. And I know that's a cop-out, but like, I would not allow, I don't care how many minutes, he could be playing 48 minutes, and I still, at 4,800, would not allow him near my cash games, because he can literally come out and play 25 minutes and give you a 4.
Yes. So. Absolutely. I mean, look, he has done well ever since his departure of Kyle Korver. I think the minutes are more consistent. He's able to get into more of a rhythm. We've even seen him in the starting lineup a couple times. But, yeah, I think it's all going to work well. I think I'd rather have him than not. But, again, this is at 1:10 Eastern, so things can certainly change. Yep. All right. How about the Paul Millsap, Dwight Howard train? Any interest? Maybe even Kent Bazemore, who's played pretty well these last two games?
Nah, not really.
Fair enough. I could go Millsap in this. You know, we're going to have a favored Hawks team, so someone's going to do well. I like that individual matchup with him against Tobias Harris, or whether it's going to be Marcus Morris, whoever it is. I don't mind him in against either one of those guys. So.
Okay.
Go there. All right. The main, nope, not the main event. The undercard to the main event tonight. Bucks at Rockets. Rockets 7.5-point favorites in this game. Minus 325 on the money line. Actually, wow, that both have come down, actually. Rockets 6.5 now, and money all the way down at 265. That's a huge drop. Over-under is at 225, and that kind of goes into what I have in my spread notes here, right? So the big thing here, Milwaukee, by the way, not very good in all their situations tonight, 7-11, and this is all against the spread, 7-11 on the road, 10-13 as an underdog, 6-10 as a road dog. Gross. Now, the Rockets, I swear to God, since the day that I boasted to you and I said, oh my God, Keith, look at all these numbers against the spread for the Rockets. I swear to God, since that day, they've just been an average team, right? So
they started average out this season.
Well,
they've been one of the worst
lately,
teams.
Lately, against the spread this season. No, they're like legit average in their last 16 games. I'll get there. They started out the season against a spread 19-8, just doing phenomenal things, winning back-to-backs, all sorts of things. Now, we've seen a couple injuries creep up on them lately. You've seen Beverly miss some time. You saw, you know, Eric Gordon missed a game or two lately. You got Ryan Anderson, who just missed last night. I don't think they're the healthiest that they've been. You know, we talked about this the last time that we talked about the Rockets. We said, you know, they're just not playing their best basketball this season. That's okay. Teams are going to go through the stretches. But after starting out the season 19-8 against the spread, they are 8-8 against the spread in their last 16 games. That is noteworthy. But again, too, you got to remember that, you know, the Rockets just had that 5 games and 7 nights stretch. So a lot of that goes into that whole thing. And, you know, I think the Rockets are kind of, you know, this is going to sound weird, but
they're tired.
They're kind of a similar team to the Bucks in that, you know, they both got the superstar that they rely around, and then they got the other pieces around them. But you know, like, I think the Bucks are a lot better offensively than people give them credit for, and I think the Rockets are a little bit better defensively than teams give than other people give them credit for. So
no.
I think we got a pretty even matchup here tonight, and I think we could see a good ping pong with Harden and the Greek.
Oh, that I agree with, but I disagree with the fact that the Rockets are better defensively. Because whenever you have James Harden on your team, you're not.
I said defensive. Better defensively than people give them credit for.
I understand what you said, and I don't agree with that.
Okay.
We can agree to disagree on that one, but I have zero knowledge about exactly why. Some of these, I don't know. I like the ping pong. But on a slate like tonight, I'm going to have to do some digging and really find out. I don't know if they have upside, because they are expensive. They are really, really, really expensive tonight.
There is a reason.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I know there's a reason. Trust me, I've got hot takes all over the place, brother. It's not something that I'm interested in. James Harden at 11-7, but other than last night, and the reason he absolutely was fantastic last night. He had to do everything. So, it's when Eric Gordon, who I don't expect to be in tonight, you shoot 1-for-17 from the field, then there are issues. Ryan Anderson being out is not good. They get Clint Capella back, but, you know, that doesn't always, you know, accumulate to more production. And it's just, I would rather go with the ancillary parts. Jabari Parker. Wait, is this game in Houston?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Forget Jabari Parker.
Who went 1-for-17, by the way?
Eric Gordon.
Wow.
Right?
Fair enough.
Did I miscalculate that or misread that?
I gotta look. I don't know. Nah, I just I didn't, because I saw you say something last night, but I thought it was for Harden. I was like, wait a minute,
Harden
free throws.
Harden took 30 shots.
I was gonna say that's a lot of free throws he must have hit. Damn. Now you're probably right then.
Yeah, I mean, 1-for-17. He had a field goal percentage of 176. So, I mean, I'm sorry.
There's nothing for you to be sorry about after a 1-for-17 shooting performance, unless you were the one having the 1-for-17 shooting performance. But
I think I could probably even shoot better than 1-for-17. To be completely honest,
I don't know if I can. I'm not a great shooter. Unless I was doing layup line, then I could definitely go do better than 1-for-17. But that's neither here nor there. Look, I think that the Bucks could do some things to limit James Harden. So I don't see him as the top dollar per point option, obviously. I mean, he needs a lot of points to get there. Bucks do run a slower pace, so that's going to take some things away from Harden. That's going to definitely hurt him as well. And again, we come down to this Greek or Harden thing, and it's really no different than any other night, except for the fact that they're in, the same game.
Each other, yeah.
Harden's price has come down a little bit in recent days, but he does still have to get to that 60. I mean, you know, again, too, if Gordon, I just saw something in an article, it could be due to the ankle that he tweaked, why he shot so poorly. So, again, you know, if they're going to ask Harden to do a lot more, then I guess we could go there. You know, I could see the Bucks doing some things to kind of get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I don't particularly like it, but I can see it. That's one of the issues with this game. Because I want to attack with Jabari Parker, but I'm so scared that like the home road splits are real with him. It's this one's kind of a wait and see. I've got to dig deeper than I ever have into this matchup because there's still a lot of moving parts in this one. Because if Eric Gordon's out and Ryan Anderson's out, maybe it's a Sam Decker night, or maybe then it's a just go all in on James Harden because he's going to have a 95% usage rate.
I like that usage rate. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a couple of those things like, when is it going to, what exactly is going to take place and who's going to be in and who's going to be out? So.
Yeah, boy, today's article just might be a whole bunch of pictures. Like, this is what the usage rate looks like when he's out. When he's out.
Yep.
A lot of words could go wasted today. All right, we do have two more games left. Yay! Indiana Pacers at Sacramento Kings. Kings -1.5 point favorites in this one. -120 on the money line. 214.5 is our total. Go.
Boogie.
I like Boogie. I like Boogie.
All the boogie.
Yeah, now here's an interesting note because I say to myself, nobody's going to stop him from the Pacers. I mean, who the hell would? The matchup is just so good for him. And then I go look and see what, centers, power forwards have done against the Pacers this season. It hasn't been jaw-dropping by any means, but there's a pretty good performance out there against him. It's just I thought I was going to see a lot more. I'm not even upset about that. I think Boogie's a phenomenal play tonight. Now, a lot of that's going to have to do. I mean, we're talking top dollar studs. Yeah, I think he's probably our guy tonight.
Yeah, it's Boogie, and it's not even close. I think dollar per point, he is the highest. I could be wrong. As far as like the studs. Yeah, he's the highest. I have he, on DraftKings, you can play Boogie and Kelly Olynyk, and because you can play Boogie at the power forward position on FanDuel, you got to make a decision. You got to plant your flag, and it's going to depend on the roster construction that you want to hit. With me, I'm probably going to fade him on FanDuel just because I'm thinking that the default roster construction for me is going to be for that single entry tournament is going to be basically, kind of, an even balanced out lineup just because everybody's going to try to go studs and duds and fit in like a Harden and a Giannis, a Westbrook and Harden or a Durant or, a Boogie or whatever.
Right.
At least for the main slate. Now, when you talk about going late slates and stuff, then yes, you can start to talk about different roster construction there, but that's just kind of basically where I am. Now, he's a great play on both sides, don't get me wrong, and he could legitimately drop 65 tonight. But it's just my, as of right now at 12:22, it's just my preferred roster construction.
Gotcha. There is some injury news that I did not get to, but Rodney Stuckey's out. Nobody gives a shit about him, but Omri Caspi's going to be out. He's going to miss the next 1 to 2 weeks. Calf injury, blah, blah, blah. Ty Lawson's the big one here because he is questionable with a sprained ankle. If he can't go, I'm kind of liking some Darren Collison where, we get him alone in that backcourt. Collison, only 4,500 in this one. Got a very, minuscule, I guess, spread in this one for this game. You got the Kings surprisingly favored. A lot of bets on Indiana so far. 87% of the bets on Indiana at +1.5. So I like running the other way with that one there. And I, you know, could make for a nice combo right there with Collison and Boogie.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Also, don't forget about Garrett Temple.
Yep.
He could be getting some extra minutes as well.
Absolutely. Shooting guards against Indiana, as my friend's Italian grandmother used to say, is a good.
Okay. There you go.
So, any other interest? I mean, I think Jeff Teague could be interesting here. I don't think he's been doing well lately. I got to check this one out. Yeah, well enough. You know, he could have a very good matchup against whether it's going to be Collison or a hobbled Lawson. Either one I think he could do well in. And then, you know, that matchup between PG-13 and Rudy Gay could be a good one too.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a good one. Unfortunately, I won't have either, or not unfortunately, I won't have either one of them, so
yes.
I don't have to worry about it.
I should have said it for, like, from a actual basketball fan standpoint, it could be a great matchup, but fantasy,
yep,
they'll probably cut each other's heads off. Although, I mean, look, Rudy Gay, 42-44 last two games in terms of FanDuel points. But, you know, see, again, those are matchups where I think he kind of had to defer more. I mean, I know Boogie still had a pretty good game there against OKC, but still, I think this is just going to be an all Boogie, all night sort of situation. The fact that Rudy Gay is going to be matched up against one of the better defenders in basketball and Paul George, that's going to just lean more possessions towards Boogie. So I was already in on Boogie, but that alone right there might have just done it for me. All right. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get to tonight's main event.
I don't know why you consider this the main event. We're going to get our asses kicked.
Because it's
kicked.
Juicy. It's juicy.
It's not juicy.
Yes, it is.
It's
yes,
not.
It is.
No,
OKC,
it's not.
Thunder at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors 13.5 point favorites. -1600 on the money line. Okay, maybe not that juicy. But over under here, 228.5. So, I already know how you see this playing out. I already know how I see this playing out. But
there's no way. We don't stand a chance. I'm telling you this. And I'm, guys, I will make an argument for Oklahoma City beating Golden State at any point when we're at full strength.
Yeah.
You know, and we're at home. It ain't going to happen tonight. Steven Adams is already out. We're done.
He's dead. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, we talk about this all the time. OKC giving up the most points per game inside the paint this season. You take away your best rim protector, and that kind of even makes Zaza Pachulia an interesting play.
I went there. You, oh my God, he's not going to play the minutes because as soon as this gets out of hand, he's the first one to come off the court.
Well, I'm just saying his minuscule price tag. Now, I should preface this, too. It's saying he's an interesting DraftKings kind of salary saver. But, I mean, we just talked about how much we love Boogie tonight. So, that's not happening. But, DraftKings, you do need the savings. And this could be an interesting spot for him.
No.
Hey, you want to talk about this to get out of hand and all this, that, and the other?
We don't predict blowouts.
Look what they did with the Warriors did to the Cavs. Everybody went off. Everybody.
Okay.
Dre.
I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying that. I never once said that, like, this that I'm predicting a blowout. I'm saying we don't stand a chance because we don't match up well. I mean, you take Steven Adams out of that game, and it's a game changer because now you have to, or now you can basically neutralize it, depending on what Billy Donovan decides to put as a starting lineup, because now you can put Draymond on Enes Kanter. You can do as far as a basketball matchup standpoint, we do not match up well. Now, do I think there are good fantasy options in this game? Yes, absolutely. You can fire up the Fantastic Four, you can fire up Russell Westbrook, and you can fire up, Victor Oladipo and, Joffrey LaVerne and hope that this game stays close. And then you've got LaVerne as a blowout. You know, but as far as, like, a full, like, we're going to, this is going to come down to the wire. This isn't. Because, like, there's just no sizzle to this matchup anymore. And that's just my opinion. So
I really like Russell Westbrook tonight for the fact that, well, here's the thing. The Warriors have been at home, like, forever. You know, they, and now they're about to embark on a decent-sized road trip. But I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, they just had that matchup with the Cavs the other day. It was a highly emotional win where they kind of just knocked the sails out of them early. But I do think that, you know, yeah, you might not match up that
and
well
Kerr
against them.
And Kerr pulled his starters quicker than he normally would, knowing that he's got Oklahoma City today. And at that time, it was unknown whether or not Steven Adams was going to actually play.
Sure. Now, so, from your guys' perspective, too, you guys pulled the starters on the back end of a back-to-back against the Clippers there the other night. So, I mean, that's added extra rest, too, for these guys. So, yeah, and look, when a team gets their ass kicked one night, they typically will come out the next night, you know, will lit fire under their ass. But I do think that this all bodes well for Russell Westbrook. I mean, Russell Westbrook did not play good at all in that game. I expect him to come out full guns ablazing tonight and make this a close game for a while.
Well, okay, yeah, against the Clippers. Yeah, well, we kind of predicted that. I mean, he came out and played pretty well, and then they stuck Luke Richard and Mba Mute on him, and there was that. I mean, it was over quick.
Chris Paul broke his thumb on Russell Westbrook. It's all his fault.
Oh, yeah, it's this always Russell Westbrook's fault. Always Russell Westbrook's fault.
If he wasn't standing there, that never would have happened. But no, I do like West to have a tremendous statistical game tonight. But in the end, Warriors.
And this is the thing, is he's got to play the whole game, because as soon as it gets out of hand, he's going to come out again, because it's just, I don't know. Note to Enos Kanter, if you happen to listen to this, please shut your damn mouth tonight. Because as soon as you start opening your damn mouth, that's when the Warriors went on the run the last time. So shut up.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant, stop acting like you're Draymond. Or act like you're Draymond. Just don't run your mouth like you're Draymond. I don't mind you running your mouth. Just don't, like, guys, you are undermatched in this one. Don't do it.
What about now from the Warriors? Sure. You know, we've got the three that were there last year, Durant and all that. Am I nuts for liking Draymond Green the most out of anyone tonight?
No. I think he's going to be higher owned, but no, you're not nuts.
His good one the other night.
Yeah, he would probably be number one. Then it would probably be number two would be Curry, then Clay three, and then Durant four. And the only reason I say that is because I still believe in Andre Robertson, and he got into foul trouble, if I'm not mistaken, the last time that these two teams played. So now, could that happen again? Abso-freaking-lutely it could. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen. So.
All right. Yeah, not going to be too many big matchups here, but I think that does it for today's show, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Go Thunder, Thunder up, woohoo. So.
Sounds good. All right, if you're not signed up with us yet, DFSArmy.com, promo code, podcast. That's it, 20% off each month, $16 a month. That's what it comes out to. Phenomenal stuff you get on there. All right, so for me and Keith, we are out of here for today. We'll see you in the Slack chat, and we'll be back on tomorrow's pod, 5-game slate. So,
peace. Yep, day one of the Domination Station. It is up, live, and running.
Ooh, that's exciting.
announcement. So if you're not, if you haven't been in Slack yet today, then get in there and get going. So, all right, let's get some work done and win some money.
Yeah. Peace.
Peace out.